thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here my boy Will T. Ray is out. What's good? What's good, Will T?
Nothing much, man. We were having an interesting conversation before we just went on air.
You about fantasy football, right?
Fantasy football. Mm-hmm. How sometimes the anguish and pain of others can make you extremely happy competing against something that really doesn't.
It's not real life.
That's not real life. Yeah.
Yeah. I told you. I mean, told you before we started the show. Like I played my brother in the fantasy football playoffs. We all have this league and whatnot. And you know, he had Antonio Brown. And then when Antonio Brown went down, like you said, Will T, I was, you know, a smile came across my face. And everybody, you know, during, you know, it was on CBS, right? On CBS, all the commentators were like, "Oh, I'm so concerned. This is bad." And I'm sitting here watching the game, like, yes. Please don't be questionable. Be out. Don't be questionable. Just be out.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because I was playing someone in the semifinals. He had Antonio Brown. Yeah. And I was up. I was up.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who I had played was done for the day.
Yeah.
And he was down by 24 points.
And for AB, that's possible,
that's,
right?
That's totally normal. Considering the week prior, I think he had like 30-something points.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then I just let out an extra exuberant, yes! And then at that moment, I caught myself. I was like, what am I doing? Like, what is fantasy football doing to me? Like, I'm cheering the injury of someone else.
Man, it's a cold-blooded world, man.
It is. But and I felt bad. I felt really bad after
that. Did you?
I did, because I never want to see anyone, you know, get hurt and affect their livelihood. But him going down paved the way for me to make it to the championship game.
And that's very important to you, right?
It is.
Do you know Antonio Brown personally?
No, I don't.
Don't feel bad.
I kind of do it. I mean, it's just the humanity in me.
Will T, if
humanitarian
you,
in myself.
I understand. Will T, if you pulled a, you know, was it, he tore a calf muscle? If you tore a calf muscle,
I get it.
He wouldn't care about you.
I get it. But for me to cheer, to be
look, man,
elated because Antonio Brown went down.
I guarantee you, right? If the New England Patriots, whoever they play next week, I can't think of it right now. I'm sure I have it on the list. But Buffalo, I believe they're playing Buffalo.
Yes.
If the New England Patriots, if Tom Brady gets hurt, I guarantee you there'll be folks on the Pittsburgh Steelers cheering.
That's possible. That's quite possible. But just for me, I can't look it through the spectrum of anyone else's eyes. I can only look it through my eyes and my perspective. And at that moment, I was like, there's something wrong with you. This has really drawn you in and has you cheering for the injury of a man that you know nothing about.
That's true.
You have no personal interaction with.
I dig your compassion and whatnot. I don't have that same compassion. I just went shout out to my brother, man, who was talking a lot of crap prior to our fantasy football game, man. You know, real people do real things. I told you when I played you that this is a game between this a Satan will appear in this game. I didn't want to say who was Satan, but I'll let it be known now. I was Satan. I ended dreams. I killed dreams. That's what I do. So Al, appreciate you for the matchup. Thank you for the bet. Dinner will be good. I appreciate you. All praise Todd Gurley, because that's the dude who ended your season on Team Satan. It is what it is. On that note, Will T.
I don't know about following that. Team Satan. I mean, I have to put a long pause in between that. Pause. Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
All right, here are our topics. The Washington Redskins victory over the Arizona Cardinals. And also, is Jay Gruden's job safe? At 8:20, we'll have Coach Les from the Coach Les Show on SB Nation to discuss the Redskins' next opponent, the Denver Broncos. At 8:30, we'll discuss the Washington Wizards' play of their bench. Hey, Will T, did Ernie do a good job with that? With the Wizards bench?
No.
You're not going to say?
I mean, what do you want me to say?
We'll discuss that at 8:30. At 8:40, Kobe Bryant getting both his jerseys retired. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our Week 16 picks. First, the Redskins again. They beat the Arizona Cardinals 20-15, moving their record to 6-8. If Jay Gruden's wins out, or we'll say because of this game, do you think Jay Gruden, if Jay Gruden's job was in jeopardy, Did that game save it?
Well, let's rewind it a bit. Did you go to the stadium and cover the game?
I wasn't at the game.
You wasn't at the game?
Nah.
So I didn't watch the game.
Okay.
Because it was a worthless game.
Yeah.
It's a meaningless game.
In terms of, yeah.
Neither team was playing for anything. I don't think either team had really any incentive to go out there and compete. I understand everyone say, well, they're athletes and they have pride. I mean, they're just regular people like us. And, you know, going out in the cold on a job for a task on a job that's meaningless, how hard are you going to really compete?
But some of the guys, or Jay Gruden, but Jay Gruden being a coach, and it's his job, right? If this team gets blown out,
it's his job to prepare.
And if they got blown out like they got blown out against the Chargers, arguably you could say that's it. Like, he's getting fired. He's playing for something.
Well,
he's coaching for something.
I think the week prior to last week, the Chargers game actually was more significant in your evaluation of Jay Gruden than the game against the Cardinals.
Fair point. Very fair point.
Because you were actually playing for something. You traveled across the country and your team laid a dud. Whereas Sunday, you were at home against a team that had nothing to play for, a second string quarterback, three offensive linemen out for Arizona Cardinals. I mean, come on.
But you can say, well, I wouldn't say, I think the Chargers, they pretty much knew the season was already over before that in terms of playoff hopes.
The Cardinals?
Chargers. Because you're talking about against the Chargers, like, they really weren't playing for anything anyway. That Cowboys game, you know, they had still had a mathematical chance against with the Chargers. It was like 1% if they beat the Chargers. But no, I agree with you. I think that the Chargers laying an egg against a team as competitive as the Chargers and to get beat that badly. Knowing that you just lost to a Dallas Cowboys team on Thanksgiving Day, Thursday night game, that was the big loss, right? And then you follow that up with what happened against the LA Chargers, just laying a dud and making it look as if your team quit on you. And then so I agree with you as a coach, knowing that you lost a big game against the Cowboys, right? And follow that up with that Chargers loss, it does look bad on you, but if he finished the season out, he's 8-8.
He's 8-8. Okay, so everyone, Washington fan base will be jubilant because that'll be three non-losing seasons in a row.
You got a valid point, but look at what like the prior coach did here over his tenure.
I mean, Mike Shanahan. I mean, listen, realistically, if you're going to evaluate Mike Shanahan, that's not the best age. No, I mean, just in terms of what he did in D.C.
Yeah, from a
record perspective. That's not the best gauge of how we gauge success in that position, the coaching position. One question for you. You watched the game.
I did. And
I spoke with someone who was actually at the game.
Okay.
He said that it looked like it was a third empty. That stadium,
It was empty. It's normal how you know how it is. But usually when the Redskins are out of contention, fans don't. I mean, any fan base supporting a team, when their team isn't in it anymore and they know they're mathematically eliminated, there's no opportunity for the postseason, you tend to get that. But yeah, it was empty. In my opinion, there was no real passion in the game in terms of the fan base. You saw effort from the players.
Especially these last two games, what do you have to cheer on? You have
I'm not gonna argue.
Broncos,
yeah,
yuck. And then you have the Giants, double yuck.
Yeah, that the Giants game's a road game. It's Eli's big game.
It could be Eli's last game in New York. I doubt it.
Well, you're looking at it's for me. It's not about as a fan because now you want to see certain things from the Redskins. Within the next two games, what you want to see is some of the young guys get the opportunity to ball out. Like for me personally, Josh Dotson, you want to see the maturation process of Josh Dotson. You want to see Kirk Cousins say, you know what, screw it, I'm air it out to you regardless.
I mean, I think you already know who Kurt is and what he is. Evaluation of him is.
Well, it's not about Kurt. So what I mean by that, Kurt, as a quarterback, like you shouldn't care about throwing interceptions right now. Like you shouldn't. Like, you really shouldn't. Air it out. Like, the Redskins, like, the fan base wants to see what Josh Dotson does. Like, to me, Josh Dotson should be targeted because now it's about progressing young talent, right? So I want to see Josh Dotson, instead of getting three targets in a game or four targets, I want to see it up to, like, 10 targets, if possible, because you want to see what you got. So is there certain positions you want to see? Like, I like when I saw Martell Spates play Martellus Bates play inside backer, linebacker, because I want to see what he has to bring to the table. Because in the offseason, you need to know what you need to sign.
I think there's one thing that you didn't mention that you really need to see to evaluate the future of this team, for this team to go forward. You need to give Samaje Perine 20 carries.
He's getting that though.
Every three for the last two games, just to see what you can do with it.
Like most of the, all the shine. No, I agree. I think you should
I think you need to give him 20 carries.
You should give him an opportunity.
Not even 20 carries. You need to give him 20 touches to see what he can do.
Well, I mean, again, when I look at Perine, I look at the fullback. But you're right though. Give him 20 touches and see what he can do. See if he can be. If he has the potential in their opinion to be over 1,000-yard running back. I don't like to say 1,000 yards. I feel like if you run the ball enough, you should get 1,000 yards.
I think he should 1,200 yards.
Yeah,
1,100.
That means you're 1,100.
1,100, 1,200.
That's you're a solid runner. You're a solid running back in my opinion. If you do that.
Just realistically, you know what I thought about on the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the past couple of years the running back has been extreme. They say it's been devalued, but you look at the teams that's having success. You look at the Pittsburgh Steelers with Le'Veon Bell. You look at the
LA Rams
with Todd Gurley. Both of those teams.
Look at the Dallas Cowboys without Zeke. Yeah.
You know what? Like, so for coaching staffs and management to say that the running back position is devalued, I think you made a great mistake.
Oh, they're crazy.
I think you don't need to go the days of giving them 25 carries. One guy 25 carries is over, but to give him 25 touches, that's another thing.
Le'Veon Bell gets crazy touches. You know what I mean? And the Steelers are always in contention of going to the Super Bowl. Look at, like you mentioned, LA Rams. Look who the Jacksonville Jaguars drafted. Prime example.
Look what's happened to their fortune this year.
Yeah. Look. I mean, they can get one of the top two seeds in the AFC. And we're talking about a team that no one thought would make the postseason. And people said Blake Bortles was garbage. And you see now that with a running game, it really helps Blake Bortles. And now he looks like the guy they drafted.
Yeah, look, Kareem Hunt, when he was touching the ball, when he was getting those 20-plus touches, look what Kansas City was doing. They went away from getting him the ball that many times, and they haven't had as much success.
Yeah, and when they went back to give him the ball, they beat the LA Chargers.
But to put a bow on your question of the original question of Jay Gruden, is his job safe? No, I don't think his job safe. I think he needs to be. You have to closely evaluate him just from the perspective of, okay. Well, not even him. Maybe not him, because that defense has improved.
Yeah.
But the key question is the run game. And you're supposed to be an offensive genius or guru, whatever we call him.
Yeah.
We've seen what he's done with Kirk Cousins. He's done great work with Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. But we need to see, can you really initiate a great ground game?
Yeah. And, first off, you're listening to the Urban Sports Team. Myself, Wally, Will T, Ray's out. Yeah, I think that when you look at Jay Gruden, obviously, like you said, you're supposed to be an offensive guru, right? Like a Mike Martz. That's what you think of. That's when you thought of when you heard about Jay Gruden, he was a offensive genius. Well, within this situation, knowing, even though you lost Deshaun Jackson, you lost Pierre Garçon, you would think as a fan that Jay Gruden could still make it work, right? Because you make Kirk Cousins work. So, yeah, I'm with you. Jay Gruden, he's still in the hot seat. But at the same time, I'm going to say this. If he goes 8-8, I think that he gets one more year.
If they had – look, to have three back-to-back-to-back non-losing seasons.
Mm-hmm. No, it means something, especially in this area.
In this town.
In this town, it means something. So if I tell you the stats of 18 for 26, right? Two touchdowns. 18 for 26. 196. Two touchdowns against the Arizona Cardinals defense that wasn't like the Cardinals defense that we've seen in the past because they weren't really healthy. What would you say?
I think that's an above average game.
That's an above average game?
Yeah, I think it's an
and
above
one
average
touchdown
game.
One was a screen pass that the running back took all the way. Now listen, for like one was a screen pass, and the other one was a turnover created by Preston Smith that led that team probably at the 5-yard line, and he threw a touchdown.
I understand what you're getting at, but I think it's an above average game.
It's above average game?
Above average game. Is it a game that's going to be commensurate with a second or third franchise tag? No.
Yeah.
But you know, we I think what people in this market have to get off of is thinking that Kirk Cousins is Brady.
We know Rodgers, yeah, I agree.
Breeze.
But to some of the fan base, he is, though.
I mean, it's because you've been deprived of quality quarterback play for so long.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But it's funny, like when you say that, it's like this fan base needs to stop putting him in that area. But I look at him as a guy that is a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. I think the one problem, the one issue that, or the thing that puts him in that sphere,
yeah,
or people perceive him as such, is because of the franchise tag.
Yeah.
And what he may or may not be commanding
on the
open market,
yeah,
or from Washington.
On Twitter, I asked the question, how would you assess Kirk Cousins' play on Sunday? Justin Rogers on Twitter said decent. Do you think he was decent? You think he was slightly above average from the stats?
I think he's slightly above average. It's not a terrible game, not a great game, but slightly above average game.
At Hashim Miles said one word, pedestrian. I think it was average. I actually agree. I think Kirk Cousins was average.
I think it's slightly above average.
Slightly
above average.
I think it was kind of
average. To only miss 8 passes.
Yeah, but like for 196 though.
196.
If you know, like a screen pass and look good.
But this is the thing though. If that's what the game plan called for, he executed the game plan to the best. Like, this is what I'm saying about fans. We don't know,
mm-hmm,
right? We don't know the play. We don't know where his primary read is. That's why I think it's very hard for us to truly evaluate him.
All right. So another on Twitter as well. My man at Chris Brown said he didn't have his usual game, but he was very average. Cardinals have a solid defense, and the entire offense struggled. I mean, I think the offense struggled. The entire offense did struggle. I'm going to say this. I had one issue with Kirk Cousins. I'm asking before we go to break. Patrick Peterson is on Ryan Grant. Do you consistently throw at Ryan Grant?
Throw to Ryan?
They're throwing to Ryan. If Patrick Peterson is on Ryan Grant. Ryan Grant.
No.
He did that way too much, and that was my issue. When you have Tremont Williams.
So this is the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
We would have crucified him if he didn't take those opportunities to get the ball to Ryan Grant because Patrick Peterson was on.
No, I wouldn't crucify him because Patrick Peterson is that dude. It's Ryan Grant. It's not that real. But anyway, could Kirk Cousins go to the Denver Broncos next season? We'll have Coach Les from the Coach Les Show on Sports Nation. You listen to the Urban Sports Thing.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I need the crib with the fountain to splash. SP, the only flower that you know, with a bounce and a half. Listen, kid, I need the mountain to cash, so I can roll up, hop in the whip, and like bounce to the Av. I get by cause I'm in the hood, the slums is around. Take my son just to what ease up, the pain, man, and humble me now. And I'd rather slow something up, cause if I'm sober, dog, I just might flip. Grab my son and hold something up. I get fly as a kite, all alone in the zone. Go slow, Casey dying tonight. So I hold him up, back to back, laugh as I could. You got beef with Styles P, I come in black to the hood. Every day. Yo, I burn like a chimney. Matter of fact, I burn like exhaust on a Dodge Viper Hennessy. I hope like Bob Marley did. Add to that I float like the hippie.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Team, my boy Will T and myself, Wally. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Team. Make sure you rate us. Give us a comment. We appreciate it. Right now, we have my man, one of my good friends, Coach Les from the Coach Les Show on SB Nation. His radio show is located in Colorado where they get high. That's the mile high. What's good, Coach?
What's going on, Wally, man? How's everything going down in my favorite place, the DMV? Hey. Yes, more violently.
Hey, like I told you, like I always tell you on the show, when I'm on the show, I'm always ducking and dodging, man. Always ducking and dodging.
There you go. Hey, you know what, though? I have to mess with everybody I talk to because I'm from Chicago. And, you know, we already got Chirac, so I have to give names to every other city, brother.
Wait, so you from Chicago and you a Cowboy fan? How does that work?
That's America's team. That's America's team, man. See, yeah, I thought y'all knew that even in the DMV.
We always think that people over here like the Cowboys because it's just, you know, they want to hate the home team. And the Cowboys are like the enemy. Oh, okay. That's how I always looked at it.
Okay.
It was like, I thought it was a vengeful thing for people. I thought it was a vengeful thing from folks about their parents. Like, they hated something about their parents. So, and their parents were Redskins fans. So, it's like, you know what? I hate my parents, so I'm going to be a Cowboy fan. That's how I put it together.
Fair enough.
All right.
Okay, hey, cool.
Say, hey, my boy Will T. What's good, Will T? Say, what's up with my man, Coach?
What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Chilling. Was at basketball practice with my 11-year-old, and I was like, you know what? I need to call my boy Wally up, see what's going on. You know, but here's the thing real quick, guys. I was listening to you guys talk about the Redskins.
Uh-huh.
And now, I'm not trying to be a smart butt right here, but I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Now, if no matter what kind of season you guys finish up with the last couple of games that's coming up, they're not going to get rid of Gruden. Gruden is staying there.
I agree.
And I think their only problem right now is trying to figure out if Cousins is the guy they want to give money to, and I say they might as well.
No, I totally agree with you. I think at the end of Kirk Cousins should be paid, but depending on how you view him, do you view him as one of the elite quarterbacks? That dictates where you place him on the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the league. It dictates from the organization perspective how you should pay him. But the reality is, Kirk Cousins is a quarterback that's in his prime and has had and he set franchise records from a yardage, touchdown, and I believe completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to hit the open market, and he's been franchised twice already. So he's looking to be paid at the higher end of the market, which could be something like $25, maybe $30 million a year.
Got to be about 30. It's got to be Derek Carr got what?
You know what? This is how I look at Kirk Cousins, and I don't know if you guys are going to agree with this, but I look at Tony Romo, and I see how Tony Romo played with the Cowboys. He broke all kinds of records, didn't win any Super Bowls, but he played well enough to be what you can consider a franchise quarterback for that franchise. I look at Kirk Cousins the same way. I'm not saying that he can't win a Super Bowl, because it who knows what happens in the future, but I view him the same way. He's going to do all of the right things to help the team win. Who else out of 32 quarterbacks in the NFL would you want? You have to keep a Kirk Cousins. And I don't think he's going to ask for as much money as people think. I think if he stays in Washington. If he leaves Washington, I think he's going to ask for a lot of money. But if he stays there, I don't think he's going to ask for $30 million like everyone thinks. I think he'll stay right around where he is right now.
Ooh, if he stays. If he stays for 25, he can stay in D.C. I mean, I'm the one. If 25 is cool with me, 30, I'm not paying him. I wouldn't pay him 30. That's just me.
I think, in all fairness, no one knows exactly what he's asked for to this point.
Exactly.
And if you believe the media reports, he hasn't even counteroffered any deal that Washington has provided to him thus far. But I think you have to be realistic when you are assessing his value. He's not necessarily so his star receivers, his 1,000-yard receivers have gone. His tight end, his Pro Bowl tight end was injured for most of the year.
Yeah.
He still had a good season, right? Top four in the NFC and
stats wise,
stats from a stats perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to ask the question, do I want to pay this guy this exorbitant amount of money if he doesn't make the players around him better, if he doesn't take their play to the next level from a leadership perspective?
And that's what it's about.
That's exactly what it's about. Kirk Cousins, I honestly think Kirk Cousins is going to stay there 26, 27. That's going to be your guy. He's not going anywhere.
All right.
He's going to be a risk there.
So, the Broncos on the list of teams that he's not a Redskin that, you know, would be interested in the Kirk Cousins. Knowing you got the temperature up there out there in Colorado, do you would would Denver want to have a Kirk Cousins as a quarterback? Is that a guy that they've been talking about at all?
Here's the thing. Kirk Cousins at his age, because, you know, the one thing I will give Elway, he can go out and get a free agent. Now, he can't draft. He can't draft to save his life. But he will go out and get a free agent. And for some reason, guys like a Cousins, guys like Manning, they like to hear what Elway has to say. If Elway goes after Cousins, that would be one of the few places I see him coming, is here. Mm-hmm. Here is one of the few places I can see him coming to, only because of Elway. It's got nothing to do with anything else. Elway has way with the free agents. I think Elway could get him. But I don't think Kirk Cousins wants to leave there. I just don't see it. Why would you leave that situation?
Well,
I just don't get it. I don't see him leaving that situation.
I can see one reason why he potentially could want to go to Denver, right? Follow me on this one. Mike Shanahan, the guy who drafted him, who believed in him, has always stated that in the right system, Kirk can be a top 10 quarterback and a Super Bowl winning quarterback. What's the system that they run it? Well, Denver historically, when they had the most success, has run that Shanahan West Coast offense with the boots, the waggles, the zone blocking. And I'm pretty sure that that's something that John Elway would want to get his team, because he won a Super Bowl the prior year with doing that.
Yeah.
Well, not the prior year, but the year before last with doing that. So if he brought Kurt in, I don't know. I believe that Rich Denson is still the offensive coordinator in Denver, if I'm not correct, right?
No, Denson isn't the quarterback. The offensive coordinator now is my man that just left the Raiders last year.
Oh, Bill Musgrave.
Musgrave.
He has some association with that Shanahan coaching tree, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so you put Kirk Cousins there, then Denver, the defense isn't what it used to be, but you still have three of the better corners in the NFL and one of the best pass rushers and one of the best interior D linemen in Derek Wolfe. You're back at a position you were two or three years ago, Denver.
And the position's still better than here, because you got two good receivers in Sanders and Thomas. It's better than the receivers.
And you have a running back.
And you have a running game.
Yeah.
It's favorable to them.
It is, but it still falls back on when you're looking at what you have in Washington. I'm talking about the stability of what you have defensively and offensively. Denver, based off of what happened this year, what's going on right now, you don't know if this defense is going to be this way 2 years from now, because all of these guys, I got a feeling, are going to leave. Same thing with Sanders. Same thing with Demaryius Thomas. Based off of the way that this team has been playing the past 2 years, I don't think they keep everybody. So to me, if you're Cousins, why would you come to something if you don't have any guarantees that anyone else is going to stay? Whereas when you look at what Washington has right now, you might as well stay there. You stay here, get the bread that they're going to give you, and stay there and play. But I do get what you're saying, where you're coming from with Musgrave, because he was with Shanahan back in the 90s when they were winning Super Bowls and all of that stuff. So I get that. But my thing is, from the mindset, I'm talking about Cousins, from what I saw based off of the past couple of years of him staying to be franchised, his mindset to me, it's stability right there in Washington. It may not seem like it. I know you guys are, you know, you won a championship. You haven't had one in a really long time.
It was coming.
So I know you guys are feeling like we right there. Cousins is not leaving, man. I'm telling you. Right now, just call me Nostradamus. I'm telling you, he's staying there.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene right now. We have Coach Les from the Coach Les Show on SB Nation. Hey, Coach, before I let you go, how can folks get your content or check out your show?
All right, starting the first week of January, I'm going to be on SB Nation. My times are going to change. I'm going to be on Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 Mountain Standard Time. So for you guys, that's late. So that's cool. 10 to 1.
I appreciate you. I'm going
to
do it.
10 to 1. I'm going to have you on.
Yeah, you know.
So 10 to 1. 11, 12, 1. Yeah, let me add it up. 10 to 1, I'll be on Monday through Friday on SB Nation Radio. You can hear me. You can check it out, SB Nation Radio, or you can go to LATX SB Nation. Also, you can go to SB Nation Radio and listen to the podcast. Hey, they can hear you too on there too, Wally. I've had you on a couple of those shows.
Oh, you know, I appreciate you, Coach. Hey, Coach, man, thanks again for being on the show, man. I'm going to try to get you back on again, man. We can talk about some basketball.
Yeah, for sure.
We can talk about basketball.
Yeah, for sure, man. Hey, y'all will win this week. Y'all are winning this week because y'all playing Denver. They're going to have Paxton Lynch starting. Y'all should probably run through them. If you guys lose to Denver and Paxton Lynch, I'm going to try not to call you for a while.
All right, Coach, man. Much appreciated, man.
Appreciate you, Coach. Have a good one. All
right,
one.
Brother. Nice talking to you, Cat.
All right, man.
All right.
Later. Later. Oh, that's my man, Coach Les, from the Coach Les Show on SB Nation, man. He's a great guy, man. All right. Has Ernie Grunfeld made Will happy? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to the Urban Sports Day.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though, ambition, flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, it's born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, what shouts you a new weapon. I don't.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Day, myself, Wally, Will T. Ray is out. I mentioned before the break, you know, making my man Will T happy with Ernie Grunfeld. You know, Will doesn't can't stand Ernie Grunfeld. But last year, the Wizards bench.
Let's be correct. It's not that I don't have anything personally against
Ernie Grunfeld. Oh, no, we know you don't, man.
It's the job that he's done thus far as the GM for the Wizards.
That's true. That's
which
right.
Which I have a very strong opinion on.
Yeah, I know. It's okay, Will T. It's good, right? It's all good. Last year, the Wizards bench averaged 26.6 points per game. They ranked 29th. This year, so far, before this game, they're playing the New Orleans Pelicans. The bench averaged 34.4 points per game. Do you see improvement? Do you like the bench for the Washington Wizards? Do you like the job that Ernie's done with the bench?
I think he's put together a better bench. It has a little. It has more depth than it has over the past years.
Mm-hmm.
Frazier, the point guard who came from New Orleans, who they traded a second round pick for, has been steady.
Yeah, and now he actually
Tim Frazier.
Yeah, and Sado is now taking his job.
Sadoransky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they already had Sadoransky. Mm-hmm. They already had Ayn Mahimi,
overpaid. I don't care. He's overpaid.
He traded for on draft night Kelly Oubre, which, you know, continues to look like it's a good pick.
Yeah, he's evolving.
Then you brought in Mike Scott, and you brought in Jody Meeks.
Yeah.
So this team has more depth than you've had in previous years. Yes, I will give you that. But quality. No, there isn't a guy on that second unit who you can go to. If you deploy that second unit, it's better than most teams' second unit as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a guy on the second unit who you can go to as your sixth man for scoring on nights when one of your starters isn't coming with it offensively. I mean, you have Kelly Oubre, who's shown up in spots.
Yeah, I think Mike Scott's one. I think Mike Scott, even before I changed the channel, I'm going to have to pull up his stats. He has 12 points right now against New Orleans. And you saw him against the L.A. Clippers on the road. He was clutch down the stretch. Mike Scott's a guy I've always liked. I liked him in Virginia and in Atlanta once he got the opportunity. I've always said this, you know, the NBA is a funny
Mike
league.
Mike Scott is a solid guy.
Yeah.
He's a solid guy.
Yeah. And it's a funny league because the NBA, it's all about opportunity. There are so many talented ballers in the NBA. And if you get the opportunity to shine and the team goes, you know, runs offense through you, there's a lot that you can show. We've seen players like Jeremy Lin. When New York ran offense through Jeremy Lin, and it was like, where'd he come from? Well, he's a talented kid. Like, he played ball. He may not be one of the best point guards, but you ran offense through him and you saw good things happen, right?
Yeah.
Same thing in this situation with Mike Scott. When he's with the second unit,
Mike Scott, he's averaged 16 points over the last five.
Yeah, exactly.
Games.
So he's a guy, and he's 9.3 throughout the season, and he's a guy who's been knocking down the three ball, I believe 42%. So I think in terms of Ernie Grunfeld, compared to last season, I think he learned his lesson. They brought in a guy Bogdanović last year.
He hasn't learned his lesson. We can't say he's learned his lesson yet because this is serious.
I know, which I'm with you.
Because the last two years, he's traded first round picks.
That's true.
For this team, last year to me was a terrible trade for a half a season rental.
You said Bogdanović, right?
You know what?
I even said that why it was a horrible trade because in Bogdanović, what were you really getting? You were getting a score, right?
You're not even a scorer, you're getting a shooter.
And again, I'm going to say this. Like I mentioned, like you're looking at Mike Scott. So this is a prime example. Would you say that Mike Scott so far has looked way better than Bogdanovich?
In my opinion, yes, because Mike Scott is a more capable defender.
Exactly. And he can score. So you didn't have to – my thing is, like you said, you didn't have to give a first-round pick to get a high-quality stretch four, right? You could have got that without trading away your first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, so that's why I said it's not fair to say he's learned his lesson yet because the trade deadline hasn't come around yet. So we don't know if he'll make the same – I'm not calling it a mistake. If he'll repeat his actions from previous year, which is surrendering a first-round pick. And we all know that first-round picks and first- and second-round picks are at a premium now because mm-hmm. you have to pay your star players or your top players so much, and that eats up so much of the salary cap.
Oh, no, I don't think – we'll see. Like you said, in due time, we'll see. But, again, I like the bench. I like – you know, I like Kelly Oubre's growth as a shooter. I think he's become – he's improved as a three-point shooter. I believe he's like 36-37% from three. Sadoransky, too, has improved. He's a guy I thought that couldn't defend. Now, it seems to me, when I watch him, he defends his position well. Frazier is good. I think he brings a quickness. He brings some courage, a guy who likes to go to the basket, setting people up. And at times, I think he gets a little out of control, but I think he's been a solid backup. To be honest with you, Mahimi has been better this season. Defensively, he looks more of a defender compared to he did last year. And he's not a liability because now he's able to make free throws. Though I still think he struggles making layups, but he can make free throws.
No, Kelly Oubre has definitely progressed as a player. When he came into the league, people looked at him as just a athlete, a slasher.
Yeah.
Now he's added the three pointer. He's always been a solid defender. Now he's a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
He's better capable of moving without the ball and also off the dribble, creating offense for himself and getting to the basket and drawing defenders and kicking it out and finding the open man. Mahimi. Look, the reality is, I don't like to judge what's in another man's pockets. But when you're being paid the contract that he's being paid,
I'm with you.
You're expecting a guy to be a formidable, a great. A great low post defender, a rim protector, a rebounder. You're not getting that from him. Plus, he also lacks certain skills offensively.
You know a guy who didn't lack a lot of skills offensively?
Who?
Number 24. Last night, Kobe Bryant got both jerseys retired, 8-24. Did he deserve that type of treatment? We'll discuss that after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lakers President of Basketball Operations, Urban Magic Johnson.
What's up, Laker Nation? We're here to celebrate the greatest who's ever wore the purple and gold. For 20 years, he thrilled us. He made us scratch our head. What did we just see? What did we just witness? And he gave us 5 NBA championships. Let me see, Kobe. You gave us 3 in number 8 and 2 in 24. We are so blessed to have had this man wear the purple and gold for 20 years. And he was all about excellence. He was driven. His will to win was very, very high. And tonight, we're able to put not just one of his jerseys, but both of his jerseys up high. I hope that you recorded every game. I hope that you're doing the same thing tonight because there will never, ever be another Kobe Bryant.
it's not, you know, it's not about my jerseys that are hanging up there for me. You know, it's about the jerseys that were hanging up there before. And without them, I couldn't be here today. They inspired me to play the game at a high level. Magic, Cap, Shaq pushing me every day. Baylor, Chamberlain, Goodrich, Wes, Worthy, it goes on and on. And secondly, it's about this class organization. And Jerry Buss, your father, believing in a skinny old kid from Lower Marion High School in Philadelphia. And it's also about the next generation. It's about this current Laker roster that we have here. You know, it's about embodying the spirit that exists in those jerseys up there and carrying this organization forward so that the next 20 years are better than the past 20 years. And that's what it's about. And then it's also about the fans. Fans. The media. I don't think you guys understand how present you guys were with me. You know, you guys were there with me at 5:30 in the morning when I was running the track and I was midway through my workout. And I didn't know if I could make it through. And I thought about the expectations you guys had for me and you had for our team. And it pushed me through. It got me through those 800s and 400s and 100s at 5:30 in the morning. So I thank you.
That was the great Kobe Bryant. Right now you're listening to the Urban Sports Team, myself, Wally, Will T. And that's, let me give credit. That's credit to NBA.com. I got that from NBA.com. See, Will T, I give people credit, man.
It's just media right there.
You know?
Technically supposed to call and get these things cleared.
Look, you know.
But I mean, if they posted it, then yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, they posted it. I just didn't steal it from them. They posted it. Anyway, during the Warriors-Lakers game. The Lakers did lose that game in double overtime to the Golden State Warriors. That happened last night. The Lakers retired Kobe Bryant's 24 and number 8 jerseys. Do you think he deserved to get both jerseys retired?
I think, all right, I'm going to rephrase it. I think it's a bit excessive to retire both, but for what he did for that franchise and what he was a part of, to be fair, I think you have to retire both of them. I think it was a bit excessive. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really egomaniacal to say, I want both of my numbers retired. It may not be that even he wanted it, but they presented it to him and he was like, I'm fine with that. 8 and 24. Retire them both. Bang.
I just think that it makes him bigger. I don't know. So, in my opinion, does he deserve it? Take one. Like, I'll give him 24. Like, 24 is fine to me. 8, put it this way. 8 was Robin. 24 was Batman. Is that fair?
I think that's very fair.
So, to retire 8, I mean, I get it because, you know, it's Kobe Bryant, right? If you look at it, he's third all time in scoring. All time in scoring. But at the end of the day, like all this talk of Magic mentioned it, like him being the greatest Laker, that's ridiculous. Like the moment is he's one of the best. This is how I look at Kobe. He's one of the best scorers ever to play this game. Agreed?
Yes.
Okay. So it's hard for me, I guess, as a Laker fan. I am a Laker fan, right? Right. Will T. I always play. Like I always thought. Always yes, say the Lakers are my best, my favorite team. I'm a big Lakers fan.
But you're not a fan of Kobe.
Exactly. And also, you know, Magic Johnson, my favorite player of all time. But during that era, and I think a lot of people forget, they kind of get this thing in their mind, like Kobe Bryant was always the great Kobe Bryant. Like he always was the guy that carried this franchise on his back. And we mentioned this during the break. He has 5 championships in three of those championships, he wasn't even the best player on his team.
Very true.
How can you be the best Laker if you weren't even the best Laker during the majority of your championship run?
That's very true. But here's a counter argument. There's some that will say that even though Magic won the finals MVP his first year, his rookie win, Lakers
won. It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That was Kareem's team.
It was. See, this is the thing, though. And I've always, in terms of greatness, who won the finals MVP? Like, Kareem was a better player. Who won the finals MVP?
Magic.
Because greatness.
Because Kareem was out.
But yeah, but he showed that he can carry the load. And they changed the whole direction of the team to a Magic Johnson team. And did Magic still win championships with his same unit? It wasn't. Magic didn't say, hey, I don't want Kareem here anymore. I don't want Cap here anymore. I need, you know, and then Magic had to do it by himself. And then say, okay, now I need help. Magic didn't say that. Magic may have got his coach fired, but Magic was still winning.
Ain't no May about it. Magic Johnson has come out and admitted that, yes.
But you know what I mean? But he still, it wasn't like Magic, like in Kobe's situation. Kobe, and let's be real, he said, you know, I can't do it with just, you know, me and Shaq. So Shaq, they got rid of Shaq. So he wanted to be the man. He had his opportunity, right? Struggled to win, to be competitive. They got to the postseason, but they weren't competitive. Then complained that he didn't get any help because he saw that he couldn't do what, and I'm gonna get credit when credit's due, what Jordan did without a big man, because Jordan can win without a big. Got Pau Gasol, played the Boston Celtics, lost in that finals. Then won the next couple because he had, you know, Gasol and Bynum.
And Lamar Odom.
And then Vincent didn't run our test. You know what I mean? So.
No, that's very fair. But I will say this. I think when you look back on the two championships that Kobe Bryant
won,
history will reflect. When we look at most champion guys that won, they won back-to-back, correct?
Yeah, won back-to-back. They beat Orlando, then Boston.
Yeah. When we think of the dynasties, teams that – when we think of the great teams, we usually say they've won back-to-back championships, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say when we go back and we look at Kobe and those two championships, you will say that he did it without another Hall of Fame player. Even though Paul Gasol will get into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yes, he will.
But when you think of Paul Gasol's career, do you think of him?
We forget because we're looking at him after.
I know what he did in Memphis.
Yeah, because he's probably one of the best fours.
He was a 20-10 guy.
Yeah,
Memphis. But did he? Was he, like we said, great when it came to Kirk Cousins? Yeah. Greatness.
Yeah.
Did he propel that team to another level as the star of that team?
It's hard for a big. You always need the guard big combination. I mean, I love Jason Williams, White Chocolate, but at that time, you know, he wasn't a championship point guard in that aspect. But when you look at Pau Gasol in Memphis, to me, he was a stud. Like, that dude was a stud.
Yes, he was a stud, but we'll go back and we'll look at those teams, and we won't say that he had a truly dominant all-star beside him.
No, I agree. Because you say the same for Kobe Bryant.
A great Hall of Famer beside him.
I agree, but could you say the same thing about Kobe Bryant by himself, though? You dig what I'm saying? Like, when he was by himself, it's almost similar to what Pau was doing in Memphis.
I understand. Yes. I definitely understand that. But when we think, I'm just saying, when we look back on NBA champions, right?
Yeah.
We usually say that there were two Hall of Fame or two
star players on the team.
Star players on each team.
You could say, well, depending on where they were in that time, because I can arguably say that the Dallas team. Because that wasn't the same Jason Kidd.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think that team and these Lakers team, and maybe we look at those Detroit Pistons teams.
Oh, the Detroit Pistons team's a really good one.
But yeah, but when we look through the annals of history and you look at the great teams, especially those that have won back-to-back championships, you usually say that there were two Hall of Fame players on them.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, it's hard. I mean, but he's got two jerseys retired, so it is what it is. I mean, Kobe Bryant, congratulations. You know, it hurts my feelings that folks call you the greatest Laker of all time. Magic, stop saying that crap. All right, it's time for our Week 16 NFL picks. We'll make them after break. You're listening to Urban Sports saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Call it how it is. Hendrix. I promise you, swear. Hey, young Hendrix, I don't trust you. I'm going to shoot you. Yo. Chasing shit, chasing, never chasing, no chasing, no mask on.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally, here my boy Will T. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Make sure you rate us and leave us a comment. Also, check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have an NFL Pick'em Challenge with them every week. Last week, Will T went 13-3. Ray went 15-1.
Congratulations, Ray. You did an excellent job last week.
I went 14-2. In comparison,
congratulations to you too, Wally. You went 14-2.
I appreciate you, my man. In comparison, the Football Garbage Times, Hakung Wong and Scott went 12-4, and Joanne went 8-8. Within our individual battles, here are our records. Will T is 140-84 in first place. Ray is 138-86 in second place, and I'm 131-93 in third and last place.
I'm gonna throw out a disclaimer before we start these picks.
Go ahead, bro.
Anyone who used to watch college basketball was familiar with Dean Smith. Dean Smith had something that he did, which was called four corners. Once he was up, he stalled. He took the air out of the basketball, so
true.
His team can win. I'm up by two games on Ray. 2 weeks left. I'm playing four corners right now. So let's start these picks.
I'm gonna read. I usually read Ray's picks last, so but you have them right now anyway.
I have them.
So I'm gonna read Ray's picks last, and you can just do what you want to do. All right.
All righty.
All right. Colts versus the Ravens Thursday night. Who you got, Will T?
I have Baltimore.
I have the Ravens. Vikings versus the Packers in Green Bay.
I'm taking the Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings as well. No Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is now in the IR. Lions versus the Bengals in Cincy.
I'm going with Detroit.
I'm going with the Lions as well. Dolphins versus the Chiefs in Kansas City.
I'm going with Kansas City.
I'm going with the Chiefs as well. Bills versus the Patriots in New England.
I'm going with New England.
Going with New England as well. Browns versus the Bears in Chicago.
See, I may divert from Ray because I actually think the Browns can get their first victory.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to, but you know what? I'm playing to win, so I'm going with Chicago.
I'm going with the Browns. Buccaneers versus the Panthers in Carolina.
I'm going with Carolina.
You heard about Black Power? I mean, the Black Panthers? You heard Diddy trying to do? Diddy?
Yeah, I heard what
in the
he's
bunch,
trying to
they
do.
Trying to buy the Panthers.
We should talk about the whole. Did you read the Sports Illustrated article?
I didn't read it.
Great article.
It is? Okay. We'll talk about that later. Maybe on a later show. Falcons versus the Saints. Who'd you pick? I'm sorry.
Well, I got Panthers. Carolinas.
I got the Panthers as well. I want to make sure. Falcons versus the Saints in New Orleans.
Oh, I'm going with New Orleans.
I'm going with the Falcons. Broncos versus the Redskins in FedEx.
Give me the Skins.
Give me the Skins as well. Rams versus the Titans in Tennessee.
L.A., baby.
L.A., give me the Rams. Chargers versus the Jets in
Chargers
New York.
Got a lot to play for. I'm going with the Chargers.
Going with the Chargers, too. Jacksonville versus the Niners in San Fran.
Jacksonville has a lot to play for, so I'm going with Jacksonville.
I'm going with Jacksonville as well. Seahawks versus the Cowboys in Dallas. Zeke's back.
Zeke is back, so that's why I'm going with Dallas.
And I'm going with the Seahawks. Giants versus the Cardinals in Arizona.
This is a stinker, but I'm going with Arizona.
I'm going to Arizona. Steelers versus the Texans.
Going with Pittsburgh. No AB, but I still think they pull out the win.
Going with Pittsburgh as well. Raiders versus the Eagles in Philly.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
I'm going with the Raiders are eliminated, right? Because they lost
the
Cowboys.
Yes, the Raiders are, yeah.
I'm going with the Eagles.
This is the thing about Philadelphia. If Minnesota loses to Green Bay, Philadelphia will clinch the number one spot, so they may rest a lot of their starters.
Yeah, I doubt Minnesota losing to Green Bay without
anything's possible.
That's true, man. So your trick worked. Did you do what you said you were gonna do? I'm not even looking at it. You did for the most part, right?
For the most part, yes.
I thought so. Will T, man. Real people do real things.
Yes,
man.
We do.
My man, Will T, man. He's the man. He is the man, man. Man,
four corners, baby. Four corners off.
Use college basketball to explain yourself. Amazing, bro. Amazing, man.
Anyone that's familiar that used to watch those North Carolina teams with Dean Smith knows what Dean Smith did.
Yeah, he was a blower.
When he was up to preserve the victory, yeah. He played four corners.
And then they create a shot clock. As a commissioner, I need to create a shot clock.
Well, I mean, it's too late to commit. It's too late.
You're right. It is way too late. You're totally right. Anyway, man, before we wrap this show up, Will, anything you want to say?
No, are we doing the show next week?
You know what? Maybe we shouldn't. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's Christmas.
Christmas is Tuesday.
Yeah, Christmas is Monday.
But it's right after
Yeah, right after Christmas.
Let's take a break.
Okay, well, this will be the last show of the year officially.
Yes.
So, for all of you all who stuck with us the past 8 years,
yeah,
I appreciate your support. We appreciate your love. Everyone who's taken the time to tweet us, anyone who's called the show to contribute, or even to anyone who's even sent a complaint. We appreciate everything, all the energy that you've given to us. It's been great. And, you know, 2018, hopefully bigger things. I'm helping, you know, hoping my man right to my right pops off and he, you know, gets his show and he gets his time, his shine in the media.
I appreciate that, man. I really do. That feels so good, man. Thanks, man. It's my boy Will T, man. Yeah, man. My boy Will T, man, because they banned me and stuff, man. You know what I mean? They banned
me. I mean, you got yourself back.
Because real people do real things. Anyway, I appreciate you all. First of all, I want to tell my brother I appreciate him for losing to me in fantasy football. Much love, bro. You know what I'm saying? Real people do real things. Next time, get your weight up when you talk trash to me. Don't FaceTime me. Just take that L like a man. Daddy did it, bro. This is Daddy Ninja. This is Daddy.
Daddy? Wow.
Anyway, man, appreciate you all, man. Like Will T said, next year's going to be even bigger and better. And we're doing more boxing stuff, man, next year. So keep an eye out. Cool. And we still got, I got to get in contact with that dude about high school basketball.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't put it on.
I know. I say in context, okay? I mean, I ain't let these folks know what it's about. Anyway, man, y'all been listening to the Urban Sports Thing for ages.
You dig?
Deuces. Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the 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 swag.